Honors Institute is a bridge program. It's a college preparatory program for outstanding rural high school juniors from all over the state of Alaska. We've accepted 60 students for this summer. We prepare them for, basically, we're designed to help prepare students for college, specifically college here at UAF, but for any college. So it has a strong academic orientation, but there's a number of cultural activities and recreation activities and a very full dorm life, which helps make the program more well-rounded and meet the special needs and interests of the students that come from rural villages. I think they call these summer enrichment programs also sometime.
Why do we have this program? Why do we have it here?
The reason the program is located here on the Fairbanks campus is partly because this is the only residential campus at the university, and partly because of the large enrollment of students from rural villages who already attend the university. And another reason is the fact that we have a well-developed Native Studies minor and major for students who are interested in pursuing professional development in some areas such as engineering or business management or education, but in minoring in Native Studies. This, for all of these reasons, plus the existence of the well-developed Rural Student Services Program, which provides support for rural students, it was felt that this would be the most appropriate place to launch a program like this.
Now, is this the first year of the program?
This is the second summer. We had a program last summer which piloted in Nana, Doyon, Chelista, and Bering Straits regions, whereas this summer we had recruited all over the state. We had 43 students accepted last summer, of whom 37 graduated, and of whom about 30 have enrolled for next fall's first semester at UAF.
Sounds like a good recruiting
time. Yeah, it worked out almost as well as we expected.
Now, you say recruit from all over the state. What does a student have to, what are the requirements for a student before they can be accepted?
Okay, the requirements in terms of technicalities are to complete an application form, including two letters of recommendation, one from a school staff and one from a member of the community. They also have to write two essays and send in their high school transcript. In terms of the standards that we apply to deciding who to accept, and we only accepted 60 out of the 93 students who applied, our standards are that the student be academically competent according to his grades on his high school transcript, and also to exhibit some evidence of either leadership ability or strong teamwork ability based on their extracurricular activities and recommendations.
Now, on this, how do you teach the students, and what do you teach them, what kind of classes they have?
The students take 7 classes during the 5 weeks of the academic program. Every student has land claims class at 8 in the morning every morning. They also have a college learning skills course that meets 3 times a week, writing tutorial, a math tutorial, a tutorial in library skills, an elective in a professional area like science or engineering or business management, and a research project, which is done as a team, and the subject is village economic development projects, small-scale, village-appropriate economic development initiatives. The students research these as if they were a consulting company that was doing a report to a village corporation board on whether or not the project proposed is feasible. It includes looking at everything from budgetary and capitalization issues to ecological and environmental aspects and the cultural and social appropriateness of the project for a village.
When you say rural, what's your definition of rural? Can a kid from Anchorage come?
We have had students from Anchorage. They've been students whose families were from rural villages and who were boarding with relatives in Anchorage to attend school there. So rural means a student from a rural background. It doesn't necessarily mean that the student has to be in that village at the time that they apply. But by far the majority of our students are actually from small villages. We have a heavy preponderance of Central UPIC students, which is similar to the breakdown of Native student enrollment here at the university. There are several INUPAC students, probably we have 10 or 12 INUPAC students, about the same number of Athabascan students, a couple of Siberian Yupik students, and three Tlingit Haida students, one Koniag student, a few two Aleuts, and several students who have come from a mixed background. There are also two non-native students. We recruited through their schools, mostly. We also went to regional corporations, village corporations, and publicized with them in the media. But our primary recruitment was using the staff at village schools.
Now, what is your staff? What kind of people do you use to teach these classes?
We have a neat group of people. They range from university undergraduates who work in the dorms and recreation programs, to village high school teachers who come to work with us during the summer, to university faculty who teach the electives and the college learning skills courses. So we have a nice mix of people who have particular kinds of expertise.
Now, how long does this program last?
It will start June 11th and run through July 27th, so it's 7 weeks. The first week is orientation, 5 weeks of class, and a week of final exams, presentation of team projects, and graduation.
Now, part of learning about college is more than just study. What else do you do to acquaint them with college life?
We do a lot to work on other aspects of college life besides just the study skills. The students learn their way around campus. They get to know where all of the buildings are, including things like the admissions office, the business office. We spend a lot of time in Wood Center, like most students here. They use the recreation facilities here on campus. We spend a lot of time working with the students on the ideas of mutual support. In other words, helping students deal with the kinds of stress and alienation that happens when you're far away from home for the first time. By helping the students form bonds with one another and become really close, it gives them an automatic group of friends to look forward to meeting again when they come back here as undergraduates. So we're trying to help them develop the kind of support systems that will make getting through college a more pleasant and profitable experience for them. No, we help them understand that things like partying are personal choices, but that you have to keep your priorities straight. And in our program, since the students are minors, of course, there's no partying of any serious nature that goes on. But we do work with students to help them understand that that's a fun part of college life, but it has to be kept in its perspective.
What about social activities during the program itself? What do you do for social life?
Well, lots of social activities beyond just having all the students living in the dorms and spending a lot of time with one another. We have dances, some with Upward Bound students and some with our group. We have raft trips. We're going to be taking a camping trip to Camp Bingle for 4 days over the 4th of July weekend. There's all kinds of recreation activities like roller skating and horseback riding, and a lot of time that we let the students spend just socializing with them, with each other, and getting to know one another, spending time sharing.
Now, part of you've described a number of things that you do for the students. What do you expect from them in return?
A lot of work. Our program is a very challenging one, both academically and socially. We expect the students to behave in a mature fashion, and last year they more than exceeded our expectations in terms of responsibility and maturity. They have to complete all of their coursework in order to graduate, and we had a real high success rate with that last year also. But the work is, because we have 7 courses to cram into 5 weeks, the students have a number of papers, exams, plus the team research project to do. So they have a lot of homework. And they're expected to handle that and be responsible for completing it.
I'm sure there's some reason behind the team research project. What is it?
It has a number of functions. One is to help integrate the other portions of the curriculum. It gives the students a practical application for their writing skills. It gives them a chance to combine some of the things that they're learning in their professional electives in a real-life situation. It helps them see how the kinds of things that they can learn in college, the kind of professional development that they could get with a college education, can apply to rural development, things that they're concerned about and that the people in their communities are concerned about. So we try to see that as an integrating aspect of the curriculum, and it also gives students a chance to produce a product, which we think is a good educational technique. It gives students something specific to be working towards so that they can see how their learning applies in an immediate sense. We haven't made it competitive. Mostly the students are trying so hard to do their best that we haven't had any need to give prizes for the best presentation. And in a way, each of the presentations last year was really excellent in a different kind of way. So we don't try to emphasize competition nearly as much as cooperation, which we feel is more appropriate for students from a rural background.
I've jumped around quite a bit. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you think should be included?
No, except if there are people who are interested, people who plan to be juniors in high school next year who are interested in knowing more about the program, I'd be delighted to talk to them about it. We try to make appearances in as many school districts as we can during the school year. There is a follow-up component to the program after the students return for their senior year, which gives us some continued contact with them. We deliver one of the courses that is offered here at the university in the spring semester via Learn Alaska to our students out in the rural villages, the Alaska Native Leadership Seminar. And students who are successfully complete this program and enter the university can participate in summer internships in their professional areas. A student who graduates with honors from our program can automatically be accepted before they leave campus for admission to the university the fall that they would have completed their high school work, so that they can leave here and enter their senior year in high school knowing that they've already been accepted for college. We try to make the program last longer than the 7 weeks that the students are here.
What has your success rate been of the students who took the coursework this spring?
We didn't offer that course for credit, but we had a large number of students taking the course, and we're going to pursue the credit option next year. The problem with it was that the school year in the village schools ends a lot earlier than the school year here on campus, so it was, with a two-week delay in getting the videotapes aired, there was no way we could complete all the coursework by the end of the school semester. So we're going to see if we can manipulate our schedule a little bit and make that work next year.
What kind of credits did the students earn?
Students do not earn credit in the summer program. There's a specific reason for that. We're concerned, they're still only 17, they have a whole year of high school left to go. We're concerned about students who enroll in college credit courses thinking that they're getting credits that will be applicable to a degree, and then later finding that those credits don't really apply to a degree program or to university distribution requirements. So we're more concerned with helping the students be ready to hit the ground running when they enter as freshmen, and also to helping them understand how a degree system works and what kinds of credits they will need. However, we do accept back students. We'll have 8 students returning from last year who are enrolled to enter next fall here at the university, and they will be taking summer school courses for credit. And we feel that those students are ready now to start earning some real-life college credits. But it's not good to have a student enroll in college courses and then end up, if they don't succeed within the course or don't drop it officially, and end up coming into the university on probation. It's more of a disservice than it is a service to them.
This particular program of yours, who's it funded?
It's funded as part of the university's continuing budget. However, the initial funding, the first year of operation, came from a special appropriation of the legislature specifically for this program and for other services to support it, which was sponsored by Senators Ferguson and Sackett. Well, there are a number of other bridge programs, and we've studied what we could find out about them and stolen a lot of their ideas. There's an excellent program in New Orleans for black students who intend to go to medical school. It's had an extraordinary success rate in which we've used some of the same kinds of academic techniques. There's an excellent bridge program at Berkeley, which serves minority students from the area surrounding the San Francisco. There's a good program at Stony Brook. There's a good program in New Jersey. So it's not an uncommon program specifically for state universities to offer this kind of help to students who come from educationally different backgrounds. One difference in our program from other bridge programs is the fact that we take students in their junior summer rather than their senior summer, and we think that this is a good innovation because it gives the students a chance to spend their senior year doing any kind of remedial work that they may need so that when they do come on as freshmen, they're already prepared rather than getting here and finding out in their the summer before they start college that they have serious skills deficiencies.
A couple last questions. One, what is your title? So I
said, I'm the coordinator of the Rural Alaska Honors Institute.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that covers most of it. Well, it's not as much of a party as it is just a total collapse.
I'm all in favor because I think we need.
Well, Steve, this coming Wednesday we're going to have a reception. We called the inauguration of the all-new Nano Club. In the past, it's been my understanding that the department has had a club, primarily the blue and gold, and some people. Have attached the word Nanook to that.
Well,
but this is a whole new concept. Will involve membership in the club with a number of advantages for belonging, such as use of the university facilities, identification in the form of shirts and cushions for seating at our athletic contests, and any number of other things, depending on the level of membership one chooses. For about $205, Steve, let us say. Realistically, we have five categories of membership ranging in cost from $50 per person. That is the actual student cost, which also includes season pass to all sports. And then we go up to over $3,000, which is what we call the founder Nanook, with three other categories in between, with various advantages for belonging to the different ones. And most of them do include, I might add, all season passes or passes to the various sports as one so desires.
And so I think it's a very good
club. And you're talking about money. What are you going to do with all that money if you get it?
Well, that would be a real nice problem, all of that money. Let me first say that we are fortunate in that the university, the state, legislature, what have you, supports our program fairly adequate. But we are in dire need of raising additional scholarship monies so that we can at least approach the limits that are permitted by the NCAA, which is the National Collegiate Athletic Association and the national governing body for most collegiate athletics. Oh, I'd say it's very realistic. Just in the year that I've been here, we have gained some real solid support from a few individuals. Our primary goal now is to broaden that base and to make more people in the community aware of what we're trying to do and try to instill a sense of belonging, that is, our athletic program belonging to the community and not just the university. And by that I mean not just giving us or donating to us, to our program, monies for scholarships. And basically that's what the monies will be used for primarily. But we want them to feel that they actually belong to the athletic program and come to our games and things of that nature and, you know, support in other ways than just monetarily.
Jobs in a place they'd like to work, and that this then might be a good field to go into.
What are some of the types of support you want from the community, or you think the Nanooks need to earn from the community or deserve from the community?
Okay, there are some things that we need to do to earn the support that we would like to have. We have a couple of areas in our program that are doing extremely well, and naturally they get the support. We have a couple other areas in our program that need a lot of work. And when we get that together and create the kind of excitement that gets people's attention, then we will see their face in the place, in the field house, in the ice arena, whatever the case may be. And that's the kind of support that we need, people cheering and the like. We're going to be working hard to get more student support this year.
that the
I'm
the,
not particularly happy with the amount of support that we received last year. I'm not familiar with what had taken place prior to that, but I'm used to situations where the primary source of support comes from the student body, and we're going to be doing a number of things early in September to get the attention of our own students to attend our contest and cheer and begin to build some real tradition here at UAF. Winning tradition.
And this is showing up in the statistics throughout the United States.
Speaking of cheerleaders, I don't know about the topless part, but we are in dire need, and my wife certainly would appreciate me saying this, we are in dire need of a cheerleading advisor. Prior to last year, it was my understanding that the cheerleaders more or less operated on their own. But when my wife came in, she, after we were unable to get adequate help, volunteered to handle the cheerleaders, and it worked out real well, and the girls added a great deal, and a guy now and then, a great deal to the morale and support of our athletic teams. She is involved
engineering. I think that
with
you yourself
a big work responsibility at this point, and it's unlikely that she will be able to work with the young ladies this year. So anyone who is interested in advising the cheerleaders, topless or not, please contact me at the athletic office.
Change from 1% of the student body in engineering, 12.5%. And I would expect it to go fully to 25% without batting an eye.
What are some of the things we're going to do?
This may be one of our saving graces, though.
Well, one of the things that we'd like to do,
and science,
unfortunately, people, or maybe even fortunately, people respond to competition. We want to get the dormitories actively involved, ideally and realistically, if we could just get the individuals involved. But through our intramural program, we have a great deal of dormitory support for competitive points to determine champions at the end of the year. One of the things we'd like to do is to have various nights to recognize the various dormitories. With banners and songs and things of that nature, and just to get them there. I feel very strongly that once we begin to get the students there and they see what we're doing and trying to do, they will continue to come out on a regular basis.
Roof over their head. Other than that, in spite of all the
okay, what we're really talking about here, Steve, is that generally speaking, for the level of scholarships that we're presently sponsoring, it's running us about $200,000 a year. And with that $200,000, we are not able to reach the limits that are provided for by the NCAA, the number of scholarships that we're permitted to get to give in each sport. And we feel that with the increased cost, the increase in tuition this year, and lodging and the like, that we need at least another $100,000 a year at this point to reach our scholarship limits and to actually recruit the kind of talent that will be necessary both academically and athletically for us to have the kind of program
that
we'd like to have.
One example that's upon us right now
is our hockey situation. You know that last year was the final year for the NCAA Division II Hockey Championship, and we have chosen to play Division I hockey. With this comes an increase in the scholarship limits. The previous limit for Division II was 15. We're now permitted to have 20 scholarships, although we did not, or we were unable to reach the maximum of 15 full scholarships at the Division II championship level. We fully anticipate getting very close to the maximum limit of 20 for the this coming year, and with that comes a very big increase. You know, each scholarship is in excess of $4,000, and you talk about increasing that by six or eight, you're talking some pretty big numbers. There are $30,000 just in one area. So they're the kind of things that we have to do. In men and women's basketball, we need to increase our scholarship level by four or five. In volleyball, we need to increase it by four or five. And all the other sports, rifle, cross-country running and skiing. One big, very big addition is our all-new swim team. We started last year, and we're reasonably successful, especially in terms of participation. But Scott Lemley, who I consider to be a very outstanding young man, a fine coach, is working hard to recruit swimmers to the university. And in addition to that, we have constructed a very exciting schedule, including a number of swim meets in California and in Hawaii and the like. And with that comes additional costs, not only for the swim team itself, but for the scholarship funding as well. So you see, we are on the move in terms of what I hope to consider to be upgrading the program and at the same time expanding it. Absolutely. Without the community support, in addition to the support we receive from the university, we will, in all probability, remain status quo. So it's extremely important that the community realize this, that regardless of what the situation has been in the past, and I qualify that by saying I was not here, but we are no longer the school or buildings on the hill, that we are, in fact, a part of the wonderful community of Fairbanks. Well, Steve, after next Wednesday, we will be going, quote, public, unquote, about the Nano Club. But over the course of the past year, I've had the opportunity to work with a nucleus of some 15 or 20 men and women who are interested in the promotion and progress of the UAF athletic program. And so the work that we're going to unveil, the program that we're going to unveil on Wednesday night, is a culmination of the work of that group. And after we have exposed our program, let us say, we will then go to the public with that program with a much clearer explanation and things that it will take to get their attention and hopefully become a part and stay a part of the UAF athletic program.
Now, can I join the... I'm not interested in hockey or men's basketball. All I wanted to do is support women's basketball. Can I join a women's nano club?
Well, the club is one, and that's one of the things that I'm interested in doing, is bringing the program together and not being splintered. All the members of the group are members of the nano club. But with your support, funding or otherwise, you can designate through your donations or your attendance at games just where you want that those monies to go. That's a part of the membership application. You have the right to designate.
I've jumped around. Is there anything I didn't ask you you'd like to include?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show today. And look forward to having that opportunity again and keeping the community posted as to what we're doing and what we anticipate for the very near future.